Simply Authentic is the podcast where realtors and referral partners get the conversations they actually want to hear. I'm Crystal Forbes with Great American Title, a family-owned and operated title company with over 30 years serving the real estate community. We provide title and escrow services for both Missouri and Kansas with locations throughout Southwest Missouri. We focus on providing exceptional customer service and trustworthy, reliable title insurance coverage. Our relationships with other industry professionals are why we are able to make dreams come true one closing at a time. Great American Title is proud to sponsor the Simply Authentic podcast, bringing the most relevant, real, and sometimes challenging conversations that help all of us get better. Tune in, subscribe, and let's keep this industry moving forward together. Simply Authentic, recorded at the Gershman Mortgage Studios, available wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome to the Simply Authentic podcast with Angie and Tanya. We are real estate pros, entrepreneurs, leadership gurus, and community enthusiasts. Our passion is sharing our experiences to enrich the lives of others. We hope to inspire you to live authentically. Welcome back to the Simply Authentic podcast. I'm Angie Mullings.
And I'm Tanya Murfin. Guys, today we're going to be talking about counteroffers. So whether you are a realtor and just wanting to brush up on some skills, or you're a consumer and you have your house listed and you haven't got an offer yet and you're expecting one sometime soon, then this is just going to help you navigate that. And we give some recommendations that, as I said, could either be good for the agent to hear or really good for you as the seller to hear to be more prepared when you get that offer. So
that's right. Because it is an NAR statistic from last year that 68% of all home sales had at least one counter offer that they negotiated.
Yeah. So I would believe that.
I can too. You know, we unfortunately, and one reason we're going over this is that for two or three years there, we didn't know what a counteroffer was, right? You made the offer and you hoped that you got it because you were competing
and yes,
sellers were looking at 10, 15 offers. So,
right.
So we just haven't had to really hone our skills on counteroffers until the last year or so. So that's one reason. And like I said, of all the sales in 2024, residential sales, 68%. So
that's a huge
big
margin.
Mm-hmm.
So as we lead into this, in talking to your seller as a realtor, one of our biggest points is to set the expectation.
Mm-hmm.
So when you take a listing, there are many, many things that you're going over with the seller.
Mm-hmm.
And in the market we're currently in, Angie, we've talked about this before recently on a market update, that days on market has gotten higher and higher over mm-hmm. the last 2 to 3 years. And so really setting that expectation of days on market is going to help you as you navigate the listing with your seller. So set the expectation ahead of time of what a counteroffer might look like. And keep in mind, what you talk about before you've listed the property, the seller may remember a few of those points, but they're not going to remember a lot of it. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of moving parts getting ready to list your house, repairs and cleaning and, you know, who knows what else a seller's having to do to prepare, maybe make plans to move out of state. So,
Yeah, they've got a lot on their plate. And they say that an adult must hear something at least 3 times before it starts to sink in.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, hopefully you're going out on a listing, a pre-consultation listing appointment, right? So you're sort of setting the stage at that point when you meet with your clients, walking through the house, talking about things that need to be done or don't need to be done.
Right.
And then you're talking about the process of getting on the market, getting that listing started. What does that look like? So when you go back for the actual listing appointment, then you really need to be kind of tightening up and setting the expectation and giving them time to think about things.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they sold during that immediate post-COVID time frame mm-hmm. and bought again, and now they're selling again, they went through that process of I had multiple offers mm-hmm. and I had myself, I had to make an offer and hope that I got it. Mm-hmm. Or their neighbor down the street experienced that and that's what they think the market still is.
Right.
And our job is to educate our clients and make sure that they understand the possibilities of what could happen. So you need to be setting the stage, as you said. Mm-hmm. Your days on market will probably be, could be 40-ish, 45 perhaps, because that's our average right now.
It's an average. So yeah. You could be a lot less, you could be a lot higher.
Yeah. So don't start to get nervous when you don't have an offer in the first couple of weeks, because that's just pretty rare that it's happening right now.
It's just a normal market for right now.
Yeah. And in addition to that, then you've got, you know, don't expect a full price offer, maybe, but be thinking about, and we don't have to talk about it today. That's what I typically tell my clients. I don't need to know today what your bottom dollar is.
No.
But you need to be thinking about, if I get an offer that is less than, what do I want to do with that?
Right. So let's first talk about the preparing your seller for the offer as a realtor. What do you mm-hmm. need to do? Mm-hmm. And there will be good information in here for sellers also listening of what to expect from your agent. So first of all, I believe that you should, as a realtor, you should go back to the data. You should do a brand new CMA and or comps, as we call them, and make sure you know what has sold since you listed the property. Now, if you're getting an offer within 24 hours of listing, probably a lot of that hasn't changed. Unless you've, you know, took the initial listing appointment 2 months ago, then yes, you should have absolutely done that before you listed it, you mm-hmm. know, for sure. But look at the market data, and especially if it's been 40 some days, or let's say it's been 6 months since you listed. Let's say there's a reason this listing isn't selling. You need to go back to the data, because everybody's going to want to refresh their memory and, okay, well, if things were selling at this price with all of these included factors of a house, and now 6 months later, the market has changed a little bit, what has sold in the last 6 months? There could have been a tremendous amount of activity in your price point that has happened. Mm-hmm. So first and foremost, your agent should be updating the market data.
Right. I'm going to take you back just a step further. If you go out for a listing consultation and you pull numbers at that point, and I always say, I'm not going to give you specific numbers, but I'm going to give you an idea of what the market is doing right now.
Right.
A good realtor will say, however, if you're not listing for 6 weeks, 2 months, 3 months,
yes.
you've got some repairs to do, you've got some things to do, the realtor should review those comps mm-hmm. again. So this is not a one and done kind of thing.
Exactly.
That's what we're trying to emphasize, is that
right.
the market is constantly changing, and a good realtor is keeping up with what's going on in the market.
Right.
So if you have a pre-listing appointment, they should tell you some idea of number. Mm-hmm. And then when they come for the listing appointment, then they should have all of their data mm-hmm. ready for you to review mm-hmm. and make a decision on what you're going to list at. And then if, as Tanya said, it stays on the market for 40 days or 2 months or 6 months, mm-hmm. then your realtor should be, if it stays on the market for 6 months, your realtor should not be waiting 6 months to update you on what a new price should be.
Heavens no.
No.
Because it is price, condition, location. If your mm-hmm. house is not selling, it's one of those three things, mm-hmm. I promise.
Yeah.
So yes, your realtor should be going over comps very frequently. I do them about every 3 to 4 weeks mm-hmm. on a house that is not selling or not going
right.
under contract.
Right.
If we're getting a good stream of showings in there and we've not gotten any feedback saying, oh, your price is too high, then you're probably priced accordingly.
Right.
But still, you need to make sure that your realtor is updating those for you frequently and ask for it. You know, if you're the consumer and you've not had an update on that, you probably need one.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you get the offer, mm-hmm. okay, as
yes.
a listing agent. So you're going to redo comps so you can take in fresh data to mm-hmm. the sellers you're mm-hmm. discussing.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make sure that the buyer is pre-approved,
mm-hmm.
right? And or mm-hmm. if you're a cash offer, it is not unusual to be asked for proof of funds.
Right.
So we have a lot of fraud in our business in various ways. And one of those is that believe it or not, there are buyers who are posing as other people or who are posing as a buyer, and they don't have any intention of buying this mm-hmm. house. And it's ridiculous to even utter those words,
right.
isn't it?
Yes.
But it has happened over and mm-hmm. over and over. Mm-hmm. So just because you meet somebody and they say, oh, I'm a cash offer, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't check up on that. It is very ordinary to be asking for proof of funds as their realtor, a buyer's agent, and then the seller deserves to ask for proof of funds. Mm-hmm. And many times you can attach that to the contract, mm-hmm. but that is just one other check mark that you're making sure that they're either pre-approved for a loan, who is their lender, and what are the terms of that loan, and then cash, make sure that they have their proof of funds. Mm-hmm. What else, Angie? Be ready for the emotions of the seller.
Right.
So this is a whole topic in itself.
It is, yeah.
And preparing for that ahead of time, I thought one of the great tips that we got mm-hmm. was being optimistic with your showing of the contract, you know, your presenting of the contract, being optimistic as the realtor versus being defensive.
Right.
So Angie and I don't have a dog in the fight,
mm-mm.
right?
Mm-mm.
We're not getting your pocket of money.
No.
We have not done your repairs and your updates, and we've not lived there.
Mm-hmm.
So for she and I to get emotional, it just doesn't sit right.
It's unprofessional.
And very unprofessional. And
mm-hmm.
it happens a lot
mm-hmm.
in our business
mm-hmm.
that realtors take it very personally. And, you know, you and I both have written lowball offers before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And or we've just written offers that might not make a ton of sense.
Right.
But we're working for somebody.
Right.
And even though we might have given advice along the way, it doesn't mean that buyer has to take our advice. They may want to offer what they want to offer.
Exactly.
So when you are presenting to your seller,
mm-hmm.
you have to be sure that you as the realtor are not getting defensive of the offer.
Mm-hmm.
I always tell my seller, if it's a lowball offer especially, or whatever kind of offer it is, let's be honest, lowball is different to this seller and this seller and this seller.
It's all relative,
right.
Yes.
And $10,000 less than asking could be a lowball offer to one seller, and $40,000 less mm-hmm. than asking is lowball to another seller.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever that number looks like, you have to prepare for presenting that offer and making sure that they know, hey, you have a buyer that's interested
mm-hmm.
in your house.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, whatever these numbers and these terms are, doesn't mean that that is the only sticking points to this contract. We are going to work through that, right? That's why we're talking about counteroffers
mm-hmm.
today and how to best present that, how to best term it and go over it with your seller, and then as a seller, as a consumer, how to think about it and what terms should you be thinking about.
Right. Yeah. Let's face it. We deal with the largest purchase and sell that most people will make in their lifetime. There is emotion wrapped around that from both the buy side and the sell side.
You bet.
Sellers get attached to their home, they raised their family there, they did whatever, XYZ, and they have emotional attachment to that home. Our job is to stay middle of the road, to mm-hmm. just present the facts as they are,
mm-hmm.
and not, as you say, become emotionally invested in that, because it's not
mm-hmm.
our place.
No.
We don't have a dog in the hunt.
In the hunt or the fight? I guess it could be a hunt or a fight.
I think it could be.
Okay, so other tips would be, maybe having it in your lingo or language to your seller, what does splitting the difference look like? You know, so again, depending on what that amount is that you got offered from what the list price is. Many sellers are very reasonable when it comes
mm-hmm.
to a counteroffer.
Mm-hmm.
Many, many of them work with you. And let's be honest, they're motivated to sell for some reason.
Sure.
So realtors, make sure you're reminding them of that. Okay, let's talk about your motivation for selling in the first place. You have a job to start in Kansas City in less than 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
One of you is going to be moving up there without the other because the other has to stay down here in the house. So talking about the terms of the contract entirely, but also reminding them of what's important to them. Is it
mm-hmm.
closing date?
Mm-hmm.
Is it getting out of town by a certain date?
Mm-hmm.
If they're not in a rush, okay, well then what are the most important terms to you? And are you willing to help pay closing costs of the seller? that just ends up being in a negotiation, right? Mm-hmm. Your buyer is asking for money off by asking the seller to pay part of their closing costs. Mm-hmm. That's what it comes down to in the end. So it's just, what are you willing to come off of to help them pay those closing costs? And a lot of buyers need those closing costs paid.
Right, right. You're going to hear us say this a couple of times. Every realtor should be using some kind of seller proceeds, net proceeds sheet, mm-hmm. so that, because sellers deserve to see that in writing. So if you're presenting a counter offer, have that net proceeds sheet filled out so that if they are asking for closing costs, mm-hmm. that you can have that on the sheet. If you know what your seller's payoff is, you can put that on the sheet. Mm-hmm. You can, if they're asking for a home warranty, you put all these things in writing so that a seller can visualize and conceptualize, this is what I would be getting if I accepted this offer as is. Mm-hmm. And just because you might think it's a little low, again, it's perception and everybody's situation is different. Your seller might not think it is low. Mm-hmm. Once they see that in number, they may think, oh, that's something that's doable. Mm-hmm. So,
absolutely. Yeah. So some other tips and tricks. Make sure you know when you get that offer that you're not expecting any other offers, mm-hmm. right? So if and it doesn't have to be a hot property, you know, brand new listing on the market. I don't know how many times we have a property that sits on the market for a while, and then all of a sudden you have a flurry of showings and you get two offers, right? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. if you've had any recent showings, make sure you're following up with those agents and be sure there's not any chance of them writing an offer so that you would make sure you're getting the highest and best for your client.
Whether you have a buyer for that property or it's someone else.
That's right.
And I really want to make that point. You know, if the sellers allow us, we have the ability to work as a dual agent, meaning we're going to represent the seller and we might have a buyer of our own that we bring to the table. Mm-hmm. So even if you are the one, realtors who have that buyer, you need to be reaching out to other agents that have shown it recently to make sure that there are no other offers coming in, right. or that you can't persuade someone to make an offer. It should not make any difference where that offer comes from, whom it comes from, because your job is to get mm-hmm. the seller the best possible deal.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know that you and I, working as brokers, we try to make sure that our agents are being as ethical mm-hmm. as they should be when they themselves have a buyer.
Yeah.
And I've had a contract, you know, over the years that I wrote one on my listing and the seller chose the other offer mm-hmm. because it was a better offer,
yeah.
right? Because
yeah.
again, I am working, at that point, I was working for both buyer and seller, mm-hmm. but he didn't choose the offer that I wrote, and mm-hmm. I in no way persuaded him that he should. He was a smart guy. He looked at both offers, and he said, clarify if I'm wrong, but I'm netting more with this offer. Mm-hmm. And it ended up that he accepted that offer, and they bailed very quickly for whatever reason. I can't remember, but
right.
he ended up going back to the offer that I had written on it, mm-hmm. and it did work out, but always make sure that you are, you know, getting all offers in before you present.
Right.
So we also have to look at the special agreements in the contract. Mm-hmm. And so what if there's an escalation clause written mm-hmm. in? Now, those were really big and popular in the COVID years, and for good reason, because there were, you know, multiple offers on nearly every house that was on the market. Mm-hmm. So if there would be something written in like that, you need to make sure that your client understands that. You need to, and if you don't have an understanding of it, make sure you reach out to your broker.
Yeah.
And you get direction on how to explain that, because I have had some agents in classes before that weren't explaining it correctly mm-hmm. so that it was actually making sense to the seller and that that the numbers were actually penciling out right.
Yeah.
So some of those things can be a little confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure, mm-hmm. again, you're preparing ahead of time as you go in to talk to the seller that you've got all your ducks in a row and you know exactly what you're talking about with any kind of special agreements.
Right. Yeah, you've reviewed the contract in its entirety, because in our contracts, a lot of the meat, if you will, is on the first 2 to 3 pages. Roughly. Then, but there's another place in the contract where we can, mm-hmm. we talk about home warranties, and then there are special agreements, mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. So make sure that you are thoroughly, you'll set yourself up for better success if you look through the contract in its entirety, mm-hmm. before you pick up the phone to call that seller.
Exactly.
And be prepared to, as you said, know what these things mean. If there's a question, call the other agent. We're going to talk about that too. Communication, Tanya, would solve so
huge.
Many things. And so make sure that you ask. If there's something written in that you are not familiar with, mm-hmm. or you don't understand what they've written, if there's even a small question in your mind, reach out and ask the other agent so that everybody's on the same page.
Mm-hmm. So let's go to that point. So one of our big points we wanted to make is, as a listing agent, call the buyer's agent. Mm-hmm. And many times a good buyer's agent's gonna call you to begin with anyway.
Right.
And a lot of times they're calling us, the listing agent, to ask what's important to your seller.
And how smart that is.
Exactly.
I mean, really, you should reach out. If you're questioning what kind of offer to get accepted, because listen, our job is to bring buyer and seller together.
Right.
So if you're representing the buyer, first of all, I always train people, my agents, to call the listing agent.
Mm-hmm.
A, there might be an offer already pending, or
right.
one that's being negotiated, and you need to know that before you sit down to write the offer.
Right.
The other thing that's good to know is time frame. It mm-hmm. could make a huge deal to someone when
right.
they're going to close.
Yeah.
You may think that every offer you write should close as soon as possible, because you may assume that every seller wants to close as soon as possible.
Right.
But you need to ask the question. Mm-hmm. If your buyer is cash and they can close in 2 weeks, don't assume that the seller is going to think that's all
fantastic
rainbows
right.
and yeah, butterflies, because they may not. They may not have a place to go.
Exactly.
So just ask.
Yeah.
Just ask.
So as a buyer's agent, you're picking up the phone and you're calling the listing agent to ask what's important, and or find out any of the other particulars that you might need to ask about.
Mm-hmm.
And as the listing agent, when you receive the offer, if you haven't talked to the buyer's agent, you're picking up the phone and calling and saying, you know, I already know that this 20-day closing date is not going to work for my mm-hmm. folks, because mm-hmm. they're building a house and that house isn't going to be finished until 60 days. So we need more time, or we need a lease back option. And so having those discussions between the two agents, if you get on the same page to begin with and you start collaborating with the other agent to begin with, mm-hmm. it might make that counteroffer process a little bit easier,
right?
Because you're going to have more information to sit down with your seller and to give them that's factual, that you, it's not you saying, oh, I don't know, I haven't talked to him. Well, I don't know the answer to that because I haven't talked to him.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to ask you questions.
Right.
A common question we get is, well, are they local or are they moving in
mm-hmm.
from here?
Mm-hmm.
Not that that's any of our business, but many times in that discussion between agents, you're going to get the indication that they're relocating here from Iowa
mm-hmm.
and they have to be here by this date mm-hmm. and they've already got a rental secured for 30 days. You know, there's so many facts that you can get by calling the other agent
mm-hmm.
before you go in to try to negotiate a counteroffer. And we'll talk about lowball offers and maybe a little bit of strategy with that too.
Mm-hmm.
But the
mm-hmm.
communication with the other agent is huge. So be ready for that, and to pick up the phone and to ask those questions. And maybe there are hard questions to ask along the way. Again, you are two negotiators trying to get the buyer and seller to come together at the end.
Yep. And that's our third point. So we've made it through 3 out of 6. So I think it's a good time for a break. Tanya, what do you think?
I agree with you, Angie. Let's take a break and hear a word from our sponsors.
Real talk, real industry insights. Simply Authentic is the podcast where realtors and referral partners get the conversations they actually want to hear. I'm Jack Langley at Gershman Mortgage. We've been helping home buyers and real estate professionals for over 70 years, and we know that success just isn't about transactions. It's about knowledge, relationships, and having the right tools to grow. That's why we're proud to host Simply Authentic in our studio, bringing you the most relevant, real, and sometimes challenging conversations that help us all get better. Tune in, subscribe, and let's keep this industry moving forward together. Simply Authentic, recorded at the Gershman Mortgage Studios, available wherever you get your podcast.
And we're back. Mm-hmm. So, Angie, as we continue to talk about ways to navigate counteroffers, something that I want to make a point about that you and I have discussed is lowball offers. Mm-hmm. So we've kind of used that phrase throughout this discussion a little bit, but haven't really talked about it. So when we receive a lowball offer as a listing agent, mm-hmm. it is oftentimes our first response to get mad.
Yeah.
And to think, what on earth is that agent mm-hmm. thinking? Mm-hmm. We've all received lowball offers mm-hmm. and we've all written lowball offers mm-hmm. because again, you're working for the client, and mm-hmm. if that's what offer they want to make and you've told them what the comps are and where they should probably be coming in, might mm-hmm. not matter depending on what they want to do. Mm-hmm. So I think being ready to talk about the good points of the offer, mm-hmm. right? Versus just price, because, you know, most of the time it does come down to money. Mm-hmm. But many times, if you're not asking your seller, what are the most important parts of this contract to you? Yes, it's a lowball offer. Yes, they're asking you to pay a great deal of their closing costs, but the closing date matches up perfectly. Mm-hmm. They've waived all inspections. Mm-hmm. They're buying as is. There, you know, there might be some other points of the contract that line up exactly with what the seller was hoping for, and mm-hmm. or they outweigh the lowball price that came in.
Right. And what's lowball? We said that, you know, it's all relative. If you have a $500,000 home and you get an offer that's $15,000 below list price, is that lowball? Not in my opinion, but it might be in someone else's opinion.
Yes.
So it's all relative. It's not for us to decide if it's lowball or not. And I'm going to interject a little story here that happened to me several years ago. And I just think it's a good lesson for all of us. I represented the buyer, and the listing agent was also the builder on the house.
Okay.
And he didn't currently live there, but he built the house. Mm-hmm. And I think it was his ex-wife or girlfriend or somebody that was living in the house. And he was the listing agent. And I met with this gentleman, older adults, who all their lives had bartered. They love the act of bartering and negotiating,
yeah.
you know, and this could be my dad I'm talking about, but it wasn't. But I, as a buyer's agent, it is also our job to make our offers fact data-based if we can.
Right.
Right. So I'd done my job. I had pulled the comps. I had talked to this buyer about what things were selling for. They were moving to the area. They were not familiar, but we'd looked at several homes. And he says to me, well, that's all well and good, Angie, but I want to offer XYZ. And I said, oh, okay, you know, so he's telling me he knows what the market is. I've educated him, but he still was adamant that he wanted to offer this price. Mm-hmm. And as a buyer's agent, in my mind, it was a lowball offer. Mm-hmm. However, I am tasked with doing what my buyer instructs mm-hmm. me to do. So I write the offer, I send it over, and this is, you know, unfortunately, an unprofessional response, but that listing agent who built the house called me at about midnight. No, it was before midnight. It was like 11:30, and chewed me out for submitting that offer.
Still, I'm in bed.
Right.
Don't call me at 11 o'clock.
And I shouldn't even answer the phone.
Right.
I should not. And today I wouldn't.
Right.
I wouldn't do that. And I try to train people not to do that. But right. I did take his call and got chewed out for submitting an offer. I try to, when I am presenting an offer to someone, if I'm representing the list, if I'm the listing agent and I'm representing to my seller, I say, hey, it's an offer. Yep. It's a place to start. Yep. Because I always remember this gentleman who said, I'm just getting started here.
Right.
And luckily, that builder listing agent did come back with a counter offer. His emotion could have overtaken that mm-hmm. situation, and he could have completely blown off a cash buyer. He was mm-hmm. cash. But he came back, and then my buyer came up a little. And I mean, mm-hmm. this is one of those deals that went back and forth several times because they love that game. Mm-hmm. They love the barter. Mm-hmm. And that's what you get into sometimes. So you should not get offended. I know it's hard. It's easy for us to sit here and say, no realtor should get offended. Right. That's not our job. But a seller, I know it can be offensive sometimes when you get an offer. I would encourage you, though, to always look at, as you were just saying, look at all aspects of that offer that's been yes. written. Timing. Who's doing the loan? What, you know, how solid are they as a buyer? Are they asking you for a bunch of stuff? You know, all those things have to be taken into consideration.
Right.
And depending on your situation, something might outweigh price.
Yes, absolutely.
So, yeah. So anyway, I would encourage all sellers out there to not look at it as a low ball, but it is an offer mm-hmm. and be yeah. happy about an offer. And hopefully it's something that you can work with.
That can come together. Yeah. yeah. And many times, like you said, there are, you know, 2, 3, 5, 7 counters that go mm-hmm. back and forth. Mm-hmm. And you really have to stay on top of, you know, what's been agreed to and what's not if right. you have that many counters. But it can come together. I had a deal last year that included a bunch of personal property in it.
Yeah.
And we as realtors don't love to be furniture salesmen, but as you said, your buyer was a barterer and mm-hmm. wanted to barter. Mm-hmm. Many times there are things that can be added or want to be added into contracts that maybe are personal property. It's a tractor, it's a lawnmower, it's mm-hmm. rugs, it's the couch, it's a coffee table. And most, if you're getting a loan, most lenders don't want to see personal property mm-mm. in there. Mm-mm. If it's a cash deal, that's kind of different. Mm-hmm. But again, we would prefer to negotiate that after we've all come to an agreement yes. on the contract.
Yeah.
So I think one of our fourth point was negotiation. And as a realtor, this should be one of your strongest mm-hmm. suits. Mm-hmm. It should be something that you are getting training in, you mm-hmm. are reading articles about, you're listening to podcasts about, you're practicing. It is something that will set you apart if you are a master negotiator. And over the years that we've been in the business, time and efforting just makes you better at it. Mm-hmm. And man, can you learn some big lessons? Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. All the time. We learn lessons every week. But just be sure that you are negotiating the best way possible and that you're listening mm-hmm. to your seller and or you're mm-hmm. listening to your buyer in mm-hmm. those negotiations. Yes, we tend to step in and give our advice and give the data and maybe just come back with the counteroffer and say, well, they weren't very pleased with that.
Right.
Because you were $40,000 less than asking, so they've countered back at full price. Mm-hmm. And any of the other terms they've stricken through, and you know, it could come back as that. So mm-hmm. then you got to go back in with something a little more reasonable. Mm-hmm. Make sure negotiation and listening is part of your bigger skill sets.
Right. And the deal, don't let it be your turn if the deal falls apart. Don't let it end with you if you can.
Right.
Right. Make sure that you are doing everything you can. Again, you've got a seller who wants to sell and a buyer who wants to buy. So is there something we can come up with? And the best realtors are problem solvers.
Yes.
They agree. Understand, as you said, they've listened. They have sort of gotten a handle on what's important to both sides. Mm-hmm. And hopefully then there's a way to come together. Mm-hmm. That agree. Makes everyone happy.
Yes, agree. So our fifth point is, if you are a realtor and you're listening, ask the seller a closing question. So for instance, what would happen if you accepted this offer? So they put in their mind, because you've provided the net sheet mm-hmm. of what this offer looks like in writing, mm-hmm. and their net is going to be XYZ. Is that something you would entertain? We've mm-hmm. been on the market for 65 days now, and you need to get to Texas. Mm-hmm. Is this something that you can see yourself accepting? And generally, if you've sent it to your seller ahead of time before you've had the conversation, they've already thought about it. They've already ran their numbers. They're prepared with what they're thinking of countering.
Right.
But a lot of times, they're counting on us to bring the data, to educate mm-hmm. them, mm-hmm. to have talked to the buyer's agent, to know what's important, mostly important to the buyer. Is there any part of this offer you would consider accepting? So right. maybe the price is way lower than what they expected, and they may say that out of the gate. Angie, I'm not mm-hmm. taking $420 for this.
Right.
Okay. Well, what parts of the offer do you like? What about mm-hmm. the closing date? Would that work for you? Mm-hmm. They're a cash buyer, so we don't have to worry about appraisal. Remember, we were kind of worried that we were priced in an upper price point of mm-hmm. where your comps were. We don't have to worry about that. That takes one headache off the table that we sit around and wait 20 days on an appraisal. They're other things that you can point out, strengths maybe of the contract, that would encourage them to be more negotiable if mm-hmm. they need to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you mentioned sending the offer. You know, if you get an offer in the middle of the day and your client is at work, their head is not going to be in the right space for looking at this offer. But mm-hmm. I always say, I'm going to get it to you as soon as possible. So I will usually shoot them an email with the offer attached mm-hmm. and the net sheet. And I will say, here are the high points. Mm-hmm. And I will tell them the high points. I say, when you get home and you guys are together, let's talk tonight when you've had a little bit of time to digest this and yes. look at it. Yeah. Don't expect them to be able to shift gears that quickly if they're at a job mm-hmm. and you're sending them the offer at 2:00 in the afternoon.
Well, exactly, because realistically, they may not be able to review it until they get home. Right. And something else to point out is expectation of answering the offer. So there are time frames mm-hmm. in most offers we send and receive these days. Mm-hmm. There's going to be an expiration of it. And I dealt with a quick expiration of an offer recently, and it was not feasible for me to talk to both sellers before that offer mm-hmm. expired. Mm-hmm. So I called the agent immediately and I said, look, you know, their husband's working out of town mm-hmm. and wife works 12-hour shift today. She mm-hmm. doesn't get off till 7. We physically can't all get together on the phone, because that's where we're all going to be, is mm-hmm. on the phone mm-hmm. to discuss this offer and the time frame you gave us. So you're either going to have to agree to let us go longer, or I'm just telling you right now we can't answer it by then. So setting the expectation, but also being realistic with those time frames.
And wouldn't it have been nice if they would have called you and communicated up front
ahead of
so that they would know that you couldn't answer within whatever time frame they gave you?
Exactly.
It's another reason for realtors to talk.
Communicate. Well, yeah. And before you're writing that offer, if you already have an indication that your buyer is saying, I want to give them 4 hours to respond, you better be picking up that phone mm-hmm. and saying, hey, other realtor, I've got a buyer that really, 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 really wants this house, and she saw two other showings while we were there. Can your sellers answer within right. a 4-hour time frame?
Yeah.
I need to set the expectation with the buyer.
And finally,
yes.
Number six,
distinguishing lowball offers compared to market value offers. So this is an interesting concept for agents and for sellers. Mm-hmm. So a good example would be you have a house that you listed at $600, and in March, that's where things were selling, mm-hmm. around $600. Mm-hmm. Now it's August, and the house still isn't sold, and the seller has not been willing to drop the price, although you, because you're a good realtor, have educated them on the comps every month all along. Here's what's happening. Here's what's going on in the market. We kind of had a slower summer market this year than normal. And that offer that came in is actually right where things are selling. Mm-hmm. So what they're considering to be a lowball offer, you've been trying to get them to reduce to this price all along.
Mm-hmm. watching the market as you should.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Tanya, I think this has been a good discussion.
Yes, I agree. Yeah,
lots to think about when you are considering counter offers, whether you be a seller or an agent writing that offer and counter offer. So we hope you've enjoyed this episode. And if someone could benefit from this that you know, we hope that you will share it with them.
Yes, and make sure you like and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We have all of our videos on YouTube as well. Mm-hmm. So share it with a friend if you got some value out of it. Mm-hmm. We appreciate you listening and always appreciate Gershman Mortgage for recording with us and appreciate our premier sponsor, Great American Title.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot for watching.
Find today's full video by searching the Simply Authentic Podcast on YouTube. Hit subscribe and there you will find full videos of every episode.